سامعيني كده؟ somebody in the end can you سامعني؟ that's fine. خلاص كده كده كويس؟ كده كويس؟ كله سامع؟ اوكي. our talk النهارده باذن ربنا هيكون about following. And like I like this picture actually because like if anybody like at any point of time kind of tells you follow me, then you need to know who are you following, right? So when we say follow me, like what pops up into your mind? What comes up? Sheep, okay. Yeah, I gave her a clue. What else? What pops up to your mind? A leader, okay. What else?
The path,
yes, because you have to follow a way, so that trust. If you're following somebody, you trust him. Anything else?
Purpose,
definitely, okay. Do what I do, exactly, that's a very, very good point. Anything else? Say then.
Instagram.
follow on a channel. That's a good point. So you know what you're following, okay? Okay. So definitely, like you know that, like we're here at church, we're talking about follow me. So most probably, as you see in the picture, we're trying to follow Jesus Christ, right? And like Jesus in his ministry on earth, do you kind of recall any instances where he did call people to follow?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Simon, Peter, and
all the disciples, pretty much.
Exactly, all the disciples. So when he started his ministry, he started kind of calling people up to come in and join him with his ministry, okay? Because like he wants to involve us with him in every aspect and in everything. So he started up like from the very beginning, and it was quite straightforward. And even the Bible tells us that like he was walking by the sea, saw Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, and then it tells us he asked them, follow me. And then like to our surprise, like just like that, like just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately, the Bible tells us, like the next one please, they immediately left their nets and followed him. So that was quite kind of impressive. Like, follow me? Okay, they didn't ask questions. They left their nets and followed. And then the next verse, same thing happened with James and John, another two brothers. And they were as well kind of fishermen and doing their jobs with their father. And the same exact two words, follow me. And then same thing happens. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Okay? So, again, one more example. The next slide. Matthew, the tax collector. So these were kind of simple men, laymen, fishermen, just like heard the word and followed right ahead. This is another example of somebody like more in the workplace or more in the business or more kind of tax collector, so different category of people. And he was in the middle of his job. So he was doing his day-to-day things, and he was actually collecting the taxes. And then again, Jesus passes by him, and the exact same two words, follow me. And then again, like this is a busy man. He's having money, and he's having things to kind of deal with. He cannot just leave like as if like somebody, like some bank manager or something, and then he leaves everything and just leaves, okay? But the exact same thing happened here. So he arose and followed him. But when he did do that, like he did not think of keeping that kind of follow me to himself, but he went home and he invited over all his friends, which were, again, tax collectors, and even the Bible tells, like describes them as sinners, okay? And Jesus sat with them and they had the meal together. So it was kind of a nice point of him to kind of think about his friends or his fellow men, okay? And Jesus was there and he made his point clear that I'm not here to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? So with these three, like here we kind of mentioned five of the disciples that were aware of exactly how Jesus kind of called them to follow him. And all of them, I think, shared, like, what kind of came to your attention? Like, did any point kind of draw your attention to how they just left and moved, followed Jesus? What was common with them? Exactly, they just did it. So they left whatever needed to be left behind, okay? And then they moved on. So they left something, and Matthew kind of pointed us to kind of calling people on. So he wanted, like, he showed that he wanted to share this follow me part. He wanted to share it with his friends or with the people that he knew, okay? So in order to follow, they needed to leave something behind, okay? Was it a father, like the boat, the work, the tax collecting thing? They moved on, okay? So that was one category of kind of following Jesus, which Jesus kind of comes right on, just straight, like face-to-face kind of thing, follow me, and the people followed. And then we see another kind of example of, like, people wanted to follow Jesus, okay? So we see a few examples that they did, like one of them in the next slide, yeah. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That was one example. So he wanted to follow, but he wasn't really sure that, do I really want to follow? So once he heard that, okay, I have no place to sleep, I cannot guarantee anything for you, then he kind of stepped back and just, okay, maybe it's not for me, okay? Another example, then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So sometimes, we want to follow, but there is something else keeping us back. It could be the people in our lives, could be our work, could be our commitments to other things. So we want to follow, but we're kind of wishy-washy about it. Like, shall I follow? Shall I really leave what I'm doing and go? I'm not sure yet. Okay, another example, like the young lawyer, when he went to Jesus and he, like, it seems like he was a very nice guy. He was serious about his life. He knew the commandments and he did them all and lived them and everything. But he wanted to know more about, like, the kingdom of heaven. How can I reach there? So he went and asked the Lord. So, and he told him, okay, so what can I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? So when Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. So then again, there's another point that, like, if you really want to follow, then there is something that you have to give up. You need to leave something behind in order to really follow the Lord. So all these people, they wanted to follow, but it seems like they were not ready yet, okay? Another example for people, or invitation to people to follow, was the multitude. And Jesus, from day one when he started his ministry, we hear lots of times, like time and again in the Bible, that he was kind of going around, preaching people, talking to them, doing miracles. Whoever needed anything, he was there for the people. So for the sick, the number of times that we heard about miracles happening and people following and feeding the multitudes, several times. So great multitudes followed him, and it could be for one reason or the other. Some of them were sick, asking for healing. Lots of times people were just kind of happy with the company and to be together and to hear good things, because, like, Jesus' preachings were good. So they wanted to hear and to listen and to change their lives. Other times they just followed, and then they felt hungry and, like, or they did not have anything to eat. And they felt that when I was with Jesus or following him around, I got filled too. So even, like, my needs were attended to. And, like, again, more than one time, we hear that like they were all fed and they were happy with what they got. And the second one here, and lots of times they begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garments. And as many as touched him, they were made perfectly well. Okay? And about Jesus, we know, like the next verse says, that a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. So for whatever reason people were following, like Jesus Christ never turned anyone away. So whoever needed anything, he kind of fulfilled the needs. Even if it was kind of a bruised reed, he would not break it. He would keep it and he would support it, and he was there for everyone. But as a group of people kind of following Jesus, we're not sure what happened to them next. Like, did they kind of continue with their call? Did they really follow? Did they become saints? Did they turn out to be Christians at the end? Did they call other people? We don't know. But like at this time, they were just one of a group, like kind of go with the flow. It's good times. We're maybe healed. We get filled. We get to eat as well. So it's all good. So it's kind of go with the flow. I might have some benefit in there, okay? So we have kind of three different kinds of callings here. Like, right, kind of face-to-face calling, come, and people would respond. Another one, people wanted to follow, but were not really sure, do I really want to do this or not? And the other, like, as a group of people. So I'm kind of part of the crowd, doing whatever everyone else is doing, and I might get some benefit. So these are different kinds of following the Lord, and this is considered the introduction for our talk, okay? So now, the next one, the next slide, please. So this here, what we're gonna kind of be focusing on, which is this passage in the Bible that comes in John chapter 21, and it's verse 15 to 22. So first, we're gonna kind of read it together. If you wanna follow on the screen, that's fine, or if you wanna follow on your phones, that's okay. And then we're gonna see how we reach our personal calling through this passage. John 21, from 15 to 22. Okay? So, Beher, do you wanna read? Do you want to continue?
Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me.
Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me.
Okay. So in this passage, we're going to kind of divide it to three parts. And with that, like, we're gonna kind of be talking about cost of discipleship. If we really have this kind of personal calling, so we're taking kind of this passage as an example. We know Peter as a disciple and as a great apostle after that, like, we see kind of a big, huge difference in his life from before and after. But at this point, like, do you remember, like, what circumstances did this kind of whole kind of passage came along? No, after that. Yes, after the resurrection, it was like after one of the appearances of Jesus to his disciples, And at this time, like they were, like few of the disciples, actually seven of them, went out to kind of just go, they went fishing, okay? And like it was Peter who asked them that, I'm gonna go fishing, and they told him, okay, we're gonna be coming with you, we're gonna come with you. And then after they went and like they tried to fish, they could not catch anything, and then Jesus was on the land, and he has already prepared fish, but like when he saw them from distance, he told them, okay, like put out your nets on the right-hand side of the boat, and sure enough, they said, okay, after they have kind of tried everything and they did not catch anything, and then they did kind of listen and put out the nets, and then they caught so many fish. Once this happened, John was one of the disciples on the ship, so he said to Peter, this is the Lord. His heart felt it right away. Like, who does this? This is the Lord. And then Peter kind of jumped off the boat and like went his way like to get to the shore kind of faster. And then after they came out and have the food ready and everything, that was the conversation between Jesus and Peter. So he started the conversation by kind of, do you love me? Do you love me? And then again, the third time, do you love me? So why did they ask him three times? Any thoughts? Why did he ask him three times? Exactly, because he denied him three times. So that could be a very good point. He wanted to remind him of something. And that's why, like, when he asked him the third time, it says that, like, Peter felt kind of ashamed. Like, he felt that, like, Jesus is alluding to something, right? So that's why he felt that, you know everything, Lord. You know that I love you. So it's kind of... like it's kind of as if he's kind of confessing, you know my weakness, and I didn't mean to kind of really deny you. And more so because right before that, he told him that if everyone denies you, never me, never myself, it's not me. If they all did it, I will never be the one. And then fair enough, he was the only one who denied him, right? So it touched his heart kind of thing. So, and like in this part, when he asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Again, when we say something kind of repeatedly, it means that we need to put stress, like kind of as if put an underlying line, like I want to stress this. And from another point, like when he kind of asks him three times, maybe there is kind of three kinds of love that he wants to draw his attention to. And like all the time we know that God is love, right? So when we are called to be disciples, and if we really decide to follow the Lord, then the first kind of thing, or the first kind of love that we need to make sure that we have enough of, is loving God himself, okay? And even Jesus in his kind of teaching, he more than once told them that like the first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. So, loving God. When we say that we love God, next slide. So, if we love God, what do we do? Is it just a word? I say, I love God, that's it? Or what is it to love God? Actions, or like you follow what he says, right? So number one, like the verse even tells us here, the first one, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So if I'm saying I love God, then I should follow the commandments that God is giving me, right? Makes sense? Like if I tell somebody I love you, I love you, I love you, but I'm not willing to do anything for their sake, is that true love? Doesn't make sense, right? So if you love me, then follow my commandments. So that's one. The other thing, that if you're following somebody and following his commandments, then he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So if you're following someone and you're saying that you love him, then you need to be kind of a mirror image of him. you need to be Christ himself. So whatever you're going to do, it should kind of conform to the image that you are following. It's as if like you're looking into a mirror, okay? So that's how love is supposed to be. When I say I love you, God, then I am kind of measuring myself to God, because I'm saying I'm following God, then I should be really following all the commandments and walking in his footsteps, okay? So in the Bible, again, like in different kind of places in the epistles and that, like they keep kind of St. Paul, like kind of, and St. Peter and everyone, like you are the aroma of Christ, right? You are the salt and the light for the world. You are ambassadors for Christ. So all these kind of go hand in hand with being followers of Christ, okay? So this kind of, again, has kind of a big responsibility on us. Another thing, when you say that you love someone, love has part of it is to sacrifice, okay? It's not just all about good things. So suffering for his sake, like if I say I love God, then it means that's implied that I'm willing to suffer for his sake because I love him so much and want to follow him no matter what. So whatever it takes, I'm gonna do it. And we see that as well, like lots of times for kind of not being conformed to the world. So sometimes people kind of look at us and see, okay, you know, you don't do this and you don't do that, then like you're not one of us, why don't you do that? But like we know that we are different. And what's making us different is our thoughts or our mindset. We try to conform them to the Lord, not to the world. So that's why we're different. Up till the present time, we see persecutions all of the time, and we see martyrdom, and we see all that. Like, why do people go through all that? For the love of their Lord, right? And what's kind of impressive, the first kind of verse here, it says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And here it says about the suffering, it's granted. Like when I grant you something, usually I'm giving you something good, right? I'm giving you a grant, right? But like here, it's granted to us to suffer. So it's kind of, it's the suffering for Christ's sake is a kind of a reward. So it's not kind of something bad that, oh, do I have to have this kind of hard time or this temptation or whatever? No, for us, like it is a proof of love. So that's why like, we are granted the hard times. And that's why like all the fathers, they say that like the times of temptation and hardships, these are times where you need to get closer to God. And this is the time where you really actually kind of get really closer because you pray more and you kind of do more prostrations and supplication and ask for prayers and you're really kind of really working hard on getting out of the temptation by getting closer to God. So all these are kind of suffering. It's like to suffer with, to struggle with a sin or with a bad thought or with your habits to change and to conform to Christ. So all these are kinds of suffering. It's not an easy life. And the last verse tells us like, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So no matter what we're doing, we have to kind of, like in everything we do, we need to be worthy of our calling or worthy of calling ourselves a Christian. So this is a big thing and we cannot kind of really take it lightly. So we said for the cost of the discipleship, number one is to make sure that we're loving God. Loving God, following his commandments, conforming to his image, okay, and suffering as well for him. And another part, like, or another point that's really important is that if we're doing all that and we say that we love God and we are kind of following his commandments and we're kind of suffering for his sake, then like this needs to show in our lives. So the fruits should kind of come up. And as the verse is saying, you will know them by their fruits, right? So if I'm good, then their good fruits should come out. If I'm bad, bad fruits will come out. So do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Doesn't make sense. Even so, like, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So if we are really followers of Christ, then we have to bear the fruits of Christ, okay, or worthy of him. So that's the first kind of love. We said he asked him love three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? So the first one is the love to God, okay? And we said, how can we do that? The second love is like the second commandment, which is like love your neighbor as yourself. So, and again, the verse kind of proves that. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. But, and like this is the underlined kind of part. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So again, this is kind of a sign of discipleship. How would people know that we are following Christ? If we do have actual real love for one another, then this is another sign of discipleship. And even when kind of Jesus was talking to Peter, what did he ask you? It's kind of a practical love. So when he asked him, do you love me? Then he asked him, okay, feed my lambs. And then when he asked him again, he said to him, tend my sheep. So there is an action linked to the love. It's just not just the words. No, there are deeds as well. So feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So even to do all these things, to be able to tend the sheep and feed them, and to actually love each other, we need God to help us do that, because we know that love sometimes is not easy. Okay, so to love someone, to be able willingly to suffer for their sake, it needs God's help. And so it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the third kind of love, we said love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. The third one, or do you love me, is kind of love for the greater kind of community or kind of the multitude of people, loving everybody, like the love that extends to cover everybody. And by that, again, like our master or who we are following is Jesus Christ. So he tells us then Jesus went all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. So if we are really loving our Lord, then we need to have compassion to the people exactly as he did. And with that, he said that, like, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we're trying, again, we said we're following the Lord, right? So if we are following him, then we need to do exactly like what he did. So he was kind of compassionate. He was there for all the people. And like how badly we see that the world nowadays really needs Christ. Like it needs all the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, and the preaching, and the change of mind, and all these kind of stuff. So we have to have like the same heart or the same compassion to the people. Okay? So we're gonna move on, and that's kind of we're gonna reach the conclusion, okay? Which is like the manifestation of true fellowship with Christ. So if we kind of reach the final part and we say, okay, we know who we are following and we know who we are and we really want to be real followers of Christ. So what's gonna kind of change in our lives, or how do we know that we are really following the Lord, okay? So first one, like I put it as growth, which is kind of like the compilation of all the previous points that I just kind of talked about. So when we say that, like, if I'm following in his footsteps, then I need to be growing in that, because nothing kind of remains stagnant. So growth, it means growing in love to God, growing in love to my neighbors, and growing in love to to the whole people or to the multitudes, and growing in virtue, bearing more fruits, being able to suffer more and more for his sake. So all these are kind of signs of growth. All these kind of points, they are not just kind of a point that we mention once or we attain once and that's it. No, it's a kind of a continuous growth that we need to be building and building on. There's always kind of room to love more, to be better, to get more fruits, more virtues, more, okay? So this needs, it's a dynamic thing and needs kind of growth all the time. The second point is a true lively relationship with God. And God several times, he mentions his name related to people. So he says, I am God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So if we are really kind of saying that, Lord, I love you and I want to follow you, then I have to be lively with my relationship with him, growing every day, getting to talk to him. If I'm happy, I tell him I'm happy. If I'm mad, I tell him I'm mad. If I want to struggle, I tell him I'm struggling with this and come help me. If I'm thankful, then I'm thankful. So it's kind of a daily thing, building relationship so that I know who am I following, right? So we're kind of, as if two, they're walking in the same kind of path together and kind of following, reaching to the same purpose. The other thing, which is going to take us to the second part of the passage that we just read, is listening to the Holy Spirit. When we walk with God, we get trained, our senses get trained, that we know how to discern like God's voice from different people's or different thoughts that might kind of distract us. So with this, we kind of get the senses trained. So in the passage, when he was talking to Peter, he told him, when you were young, you girded yourself. In this, like when he was young in faith, what did Peter kind of used to do? We know that he was very strong character, and he was a leader and everything, but at the same time, he was like kind of hasty in so many things. Okay, what's mundafa? Impulsive, exactly. Thank you, Mark. Okay, and with his impulsiveness, lots of times he tends to, like, as we said, he tells him, okay, Lord, I will be with you all the time. No, I can take the cross instead of you. You don't die. I can die for you. So even Jesus told him, are you going to die for me? You're going to deny me tonight before the rooster kind of crows. And he said, no, if everyone kind of denies you, not me, never. And then what happens is that like he was the one who fell. Right? See, so he was kind of impulsive. And then we see the difference after that. So that's kind of girding himself. He was feeling himself, I am strong, I can do this, I cannot do that. This is gonna be my next step. He was impulsive, not really listening to the Holy Spirit or not really giving really himself to God. When he grows in faith, he tells him after that, like you're gonna stretch out your hands and another will gird you. So that means the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we see this impulsive person, Peter, the kind of the one who kind of talks much and kind of gets his hand to the sword and cuts the kind of slave's ear and that, we find that he kind of changed 180 degrees and he became a great preacher and he was kind of like a great pillar in the church and how many churches he opened, how many people he kind of got to Christ. And at the end, like how did he die? Do you know how did he die? Yeah, upside down on a cross, okay? So that was weird, and that's why, like, in this passage, it tells us that, like, it was like kind of showing to what kind of death he's gonna die, okay? And all this, like, when you are kind of listening to your Holy Spirit and letting it guide you, then you can very easily, or not very easily, even when it's hard, but you can kind of step out of your comfort zone just because of your master, because you really want to follow. The next step is like when he saw the part that when he tells you, Lord, what about this man? Okay, when he looked and like it was Jesus and talking to Peter, right? And when Jesus told Peter, follow me, who was following? Actually following you want to get back, Samir, to the passage, the very last part that John read. Okay, so it is number 7, like the passage of the Bible. Up, yes, this one, and a little bit back. Oh, it's cut off? Okay, so I'm sorry. Yeah, it's verse, Jesus said to him, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, okay, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? So they were talking, but John was actually kind of in Jesus' shadow kind of thing. So he was kind of really attached to him. He was following no matter what. Like, he didn't care about the conversation going between Jesus and Peter, but he was following, okay? So he asked him, okay, so what about this man? And then, like, Christ kind of responded to him. He told him, you follow me, okay? So, again, like, when you are following, you need to focus that, like, if other people are following, that's great, let's follow together. If no one else is following, and I want to follow, then, like, you follow me, okay? And following the footsteps, it's kind of one of the hallmarks of our church, is that we always have discipleship. We have the Father of Confession, we have fathers of the church. So we know where to go when we need kind of to ask or when we need guidance. And in Song of Songs, there is this verse that says, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tent. So we always have a shepherd and we always have a flock to follow. And that's why, like, our church is kind of so full of many saints and fathers. And so we have so many living examples that, like, followed Christ and they did well with their lives. The last point that we need to kind of point out is that if you are really following, then you get to live a life of praise. Life of praise in the sense of when you are following, then you're always content with your master. So you feel that, like you have God always on your mind. And here the verse says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So you're always meditating on kind of the Jesus prayer or just the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, help me. Jesus Christ, be with me. Jesus Christ, I thank you. I love you. Like, just be with me, support me, give me joy. Whatever it is, like, it's like his name, the name of the Lord is always on your mouth. So you're kind of just praising him on everything. And then this part of the psalm is really very nice. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. And in your favor our whole name is exalted. So living with Christ or choosing to follow him gives you this kind of life of praise as well. So, costs of discipleship, if we want to just recap, or like the manifestations, as we said, the manifestations of true fellowship with Christ. Christ is growth in love and in virtues and in everything. The second one is a daily relationship or relationship with the Christ at all times. Listening to the Holy Spirit, following the footsteps of the flock, and the life of praise. The interesting thing that our church kind of gives us, this one here, this is part of the midnight praise or kiyak praise, like we say it in kiyak, and we say it even for like in the like the daily kind of annual psalmody. Like, there is kind of a hymn saying that we follow you with all our hearts and fear you and we seek your face. Oh God, do not forsake us, but rather deal with us according to your meekness and according to your great mercy, O Lord, help us. May our prayers ascend to you, O our Master, like burnt offering of lambs and fat calves. So this is our last thing. So take your calling seriously and enjoy the journey and the companionship of the Lord. Amen. thank you for listening. And if you want to have, if you have questions, that's your time to ask. Is kind of contradictory. Who would like to answer? Audience, you have to help me. So how is suffering considered a grant from God? We are granted to suffer for his sake. How is that possible? Any thoughts? It's up to you. As we said, like in the epistle, طبعا ابونا بيمتحني يعني طبعا واخدين بالكم يعني. You know, when you're studying anything and you think, okay, I know this, would you still be promoted if you don't get the test? No, like, and we all like we've all been to schools and universities and that. So the suffering part is kind of, that's your promotion. If you say that you love me, okay, prove that you love me. Or shall we kind of just love God when everything is nice and good and like we're successful and we have everything that we need, but if one day we're suffering with something or we lose someone dear to us or we lose something or we are really desperate to have something and we can't have it, and then we don't love God. Is that love? No, like if you love someone, then it has to be for the good and for the bad, right? If you are in a prosperous time, then you love God and you follow him. If it is a kind of a bad time, and I think this is why people kind of choose to give their lives, even give their whole life, not just to give something out of their life. No, they gave actually their life, like as martyrdom. That was a sign of love. They were not kind of committing suicide. They were not kind of desperate to end their lives, and that's why like they chose to die no matter what. No, they their love was put to the test, and they suffered through it all just for the sake of loving the Lord. Does that answer you, Alpana? And people who went through kind of rough times, and we see that how much they came out of it stronger. Mm-hmm. like, and more confident in God's love, and more kind of like more strong in virtue and in courage and everything. Yes. Because, like, in the time of pain or suffering, usually you find yourself kind of seeking God more, because you feel so helpless and so down. So you feel that, like, I want to cling on something, I want to hold on something strong, and then that gets you closer to God. Maria, you have something to say? Yeah, if you have Christ, then yeah. Thank you. Other questions or comments? Okay. Any questions? Kind of concerning this topic. So Mark, thank you for your...